are waiting. Caleb Williams here on 670 The Score. Rahimi and Harris. Mark Grody in for Marshall Harris. And in the meantime, we have gotten some nuggets, not just Bears practice nuggets, as we told you in the last segment, but also what's going on Sunday. Ben Johnson told the Hogan Johns podcast that the starters will not be playing on Sunday against the Dolphins. That made today that much more important. We know that there's an estimated 9 starters on both sides of the ball who are not playing. As for the other 2, we're still trying to figure that out. Maybe after practice today, there might be some more clarity on that. But I think we have some time here as we await Caleb Williams because practice just wraps up. People need to cool off, take showers, chill a little bit. Yeah.
Recovery, right?
Exactly.
A little drunk elephant, maybe.
Yeah. Drunk elephant. I feel like Caleb might be into the skincare at a higher price than I am.
There's a lot of fine lotions in an NFL locker room usually.
I know. Yeah. The products are fun.
No, they are. You can see
there's
them in their lockers.
There's some dudes who are product fiends.
There's
absolutely
some good. I mean, like, you know, you get bad smells in a locker room, but they've got the expensive stuff in there. So when they want to put the scented creams on or the cologne, yeah, man.
Yeah. Everybody likes the finer things.
Sure.
It's just a matter of how.
I'm not hating.
Exactly. In the meantime, Ben Johnson did have a pretty robust conversation with our friends Adam Hogue and Adam Johns. And he talked about, I think, what is a huge aspect of this offense if it's going to be successful, play action.
I think it always starts with the protection. And so take the fake aspect out of it to start with. It's who are we worried about on their defense, or what pressures are we worried about on their defense? Can our tight end block their defensive end one-on-one or not? Like, these are all things that we think about on a weekly basis when it comes to the play action game. But what are the most sound protections that we feel good about being able to push the ball down the field for these chunk or explosive plays, yet we're not going to put the quarterback at any pressure within the first 2.5 seconds of the drop after the snap? And so that's the starting point. And then there's becomes the who do we want to manipulate on that side of the ball, on the defensive side of the ball, in terms of if it's a zone coverage, how do we get him out of his coverage responsibility because of the play fake? Is it fake at him? Is it wide zone away from him to manipulate him? And then replace him with the ball and the receiver running through that zone. And so there's a lot of that goes into it, and that's a weekly basis that we get into with our game plan. What type of action does it need to be to manipulate the defender the most? Because at the end of the day, that's what it is. We're trying to get the chunk play action, call it the 10 to 20-yard range. That's where catch-and-run opportunities exist. And if it's not there, what we're trying to instill in our quarterbacks is the check-down mentality. Let's get it to our backs. Let's get it to our tight ends underneath. And there's still 5, 8, 10-yard gains to be had by just dumping it down.
That's really good.
Sexy.
Absolutely. Number one, you hear what the priorities are listed in order of what makes a play work to him. First, it's blocking. Secondly, it's what the defense is giving you. Third, the first position he mentions in this play, tight end. That tells you why he wanted to draft his guy at 10th overall, does it not?
That absolutely does. I also heard chunk before check down, if I may coin that phrase. I beat you to it, Haw. Yes, I like hearing about that. The play action piece, I mean, duh. We all know that that's what Ben Johnson has been trying to preach. We know how important the running game was to him and valuable in Detroit. I will say that I saw at Soldier Field on Family Day the best bit of play action that maybe Caleb Williams has done so far. And that was getting the play action to a wide open Cole Kmet, just a little short pass to him, just complete real estate in front of him right into the end zone. So we are starting to see the effects of that. And I thought low key too, one of the things that Ben Johnson mentioned too was, what are the most sound protections for you for these plays? It's not just generalized. What? Because we talk so much about Caleb and what he's comfortable with. Let's make sure the protections are sound, and that's something that Caleb is calling out and calling for. So I thought that was some really good stuff right there from Ben Johnson.
And this is where we get to put it together. Because he's done all these interviews, Caleb Williams talked to Dan Weiderer. That article is in the Tribune today. He sat down with Stacey Dales and Brian Baldinger for NFL Network. We know that, and we have the comments that he made in that interview as well. We can put that together. So then we get to ask him different stuff. When we talk to him, we build on this in a way. And we're building on it now with what Ben Johnson had to say to Hogan Johns. it's important because Caleb Williams said to Stacey Dales and Brian Baldinger, he talked about the order of operations with the call, and he mentioned protections in his responsibility in those calls. And I thought that that was really big, because that's a big part of offensive scheme.
Big time.
You're trying to figure out whose guys are whose, and so that puts a lot of this together for me as well.
And that's something that we're going to ask him about, like the fundamental piece, the operation, understanding the coverages, understanding the offensive line, what they're doing, what this concert is going to be like between Caleb Williams and his O-line. And again, like, you start to get that piece down and you combine that with the innate and the special that he has, that's where you get bingo with Caleb Williams. It feels like, I don't know. Like, is it far away or is it right there? Is it right there? Because it can be right there.
And I don't necessarily care if it's right there right now. I care that you're putting it in place right now.
That it's going to, that you can maybe project that it's going to look good for the next 5 to 7 years, too. That's another big part.
Not just that, but the order of operations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what we talk about when we're talking about the play calls. And it's funny you mentioned that, by the way. Like, the years and for how long you expect this to work, because that was addressed in his sit down with Dan Weirer. He talks about like 18 to 19 years.
I love when he talks like that.
Because
I love it.
I don't mind that quarterbacks have the Tom Brady and really Aaron Rodgers career span in mind now with technology and what you know about taking care of yourself and how.
It's not crazy.
It's not. And that's when you can build on it.
I think Bears fans deserve that. Like, after having so much bad at quarterback for so long, Bears fans deserve a 18-year, 19-year run with a quarterback and a coach.
Who was the longest? Imagine? I wonder who, I mean, I could probably do this in my head a little bit, but I'm trying to think of who in the modern era of Bears football has had the longest tenure as a starter. Jay Cutler, probably,
right? It's probably
right?
Cutler.
It's probably Cuddy. I don't think, because even there was success with Eric Kramer, but it wasn't, the duration wasn't great with Eric Kramer. But yeah, it's got to be Jay Cutler. Yes.
Can I read you the quote?
By the way, yeah, hold on. Just to let people know, you're listening to the Caleb Williams pregame show right now.
That's what this is.
We're waiting for Caleb. Yeah. This is the Caleb Williams pregame show.
I heard that there's a joint practice postgame show today. So I think it's fair that we've got the Caleb Williams
pregame show. This is awesome. I love this. We're going to get our manager's interview here in just a little bit.
So this is the Dan Weirer article, your partner on the Take the North podcast,
yes,
talking to Caleb Williams in the Tribune.
Weedsy.
And he said, with your feet on the ground with a little more heading into year two than they were in your rookie year, what have you, Caleb Williams, learned about sharpening your habits and preparation routines? And he says, it's going to be a constantly evolving thing throughout, hopefully the next 18, 19 years. You know what I mean? But that's good. Have the 70% goal. Have the 20-year career goal. If you don't do that, then what are you doing, right?
I love it when he talks like that, because I'm glad he hasn't stopped talking like that, because he talked about the 4,000 yards and wanting to break records and all that stuff last year. I like that nothing has pushed him off of any of that. 18 or 19 years, number 18, we would love that. This is rain delay theater for Caleb Williams.
So it is, and he says to Dan in this article, he continues saying, you know what I mean, but that's always going to be a thing. It's always going to be important to sharpen those habits. It's always going to be something that I do every single year. It's something that happens in college from your first year to your second year. And then years on, you become more comfortable with offensive schemes. You become more comfortable with defensive schemes. And then you tie that into your plays, your feet, your eyes, knowing the defense and things. And I'm working my tail off and trying to get to that point as fast as possible so that it doesn't have to be 4 years from now. It could be this year or next year, or whenever it happens, it happens. But I'm striving for that. And I know a bunch of guys are striving to be able to feel and see things and go out there and be confident. This is what I wanted to know, what was happening. This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. Mark Grody in for Marshall Harris as we await Caleb Williams, listening to and reading what he had to say to our friend Dan Weirer. When we say strip it down to the studs, what does that mean? What does that look like? And when you're trying to develop order of operations, your checklist, your pre-snap procedure, we're finally seeing that take shape in what the order of importance is for how they're building it.
Well, one thing that I got out of that I reminded, and I don't know if I voiced this or voiced it enough, Caleb Williams knows what he has to do. He's very specific in the way he talks and what he sees. And when we ask him about individual plays and where the high safety was and the breakdown, what he know. So that's important. Now, has the execution of the fundamentals been perfect so far? No, but it is important to hear his football IQ talking about what he knows he has to do. That hasn't always been the case with previous Bears quarterbacks, where you didn't necessarily feel like they knew exactly what they're seeing. Like, I think, despite the lack of film watching last year, apparently, he does seem to know what he is seeing on a football field and what he has to do. Now it's a matter of just doing it.
Okay, let's kick this out to previous quarterbacks. I don't feel like Mitch Trubisky got to a point where this was the discussion.
That's correct. That would be the example. I think Justin Fields was there. I think Justin, like, he didn't get there physically, but he got there, I think, in terms of knowing what he's supposed to be seeing. He talked it correctly. Unfortunately for Mitch Trubisky, he, unlike... a lot of quarterbacks will parrot what their head coaches say. I get it. Like, that's what you should do. Mitch Trubisky seemed to parrot Matt Nagy word for word. Like, it never felt like what he was saying was coming out like his own thought process. And I don't think he ever completely learned offense.
You know what the sad part is? That's what you should do. If you were in his role, I think he was doing what he thought was the right thing at the time.
Oh, absolutely. I get it. But it just made me wonder what he knew or how comfortable he was with anything that was going on there. But, you know, look, as I always say, and, you know, reporters get mad, we are not entitled to people who are polished speakers. We're lucky that Caleb Williams is, but we are not – it's nice, but we are not entitled to it.
No, I always joke, it's not the National Talking League.
Yeah, it's not.
It's the
right.
National Football League.
Right, so when we get frustrated as a reporter, this guy, you know, he doesn't want to talk or whatever. I mean, they are required to some extent to talk, but if they're not good talkers or they don't expand on things, we are far from entitled also, to that. And it's our job to get that stuff out of players.
Think about how much we mess up in a live 4.5-hour talk show.
I thought about that the other way. Have you ever thought about having all those mics in your face, Layla? Like how you would handle that?
I mean, if you get articles done and sometimes you think you said something and it doesn't always come out the same way.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So I get it. And I think that was something I learned about halfway through my career, because I kind of lament it sometimes. But I'm like, who the hell am I to say that I'm entitled to you being a great interview or giving great information?
My job is to just, can I understand what you're saying?
Right.
Are you the most authentic? Am I getting the most real answer in this space?
Yep.
I don't care about malaprops. I don't care if you've changed up something that's minute.
Can I get a what? That's it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I thought about a lot of lines that I could quote from that song and realized none of them are appropriate on the air.
Was what I just said even appropriate?
Yeah, because you said the edited version.
Okay.
That's actually the edited version of the original song.
Wait,
which
really?
Which I think is older than the quarterback calling in.
I did not know that.
God, that's sad.
So it's actually...
It's something else. I'll tell you offline.
All right.
While we have time, as we await Caleb Williams here on Raheemy and Harris with Mark Grody on the score, I also want to point this out. This was Ben Johnson on with Hogan Johns, talking about who he leans on for advice about working with his quarterback.
You know, the guy we had in Detroit had played a number of snaps in this league prior to, and so that's a different situation. But I was, my first job in the NFL was with Miami, and we had a rookie quarterback that first year in Ryan Tannehill. And so the first 2 years, he had some familiarity with the scheme because Mike Sherman had coached him at A&M, and there was a lot of carryover to that. But the third year, we really started from scratch for him. And so we redid, I still remember, all springtime, we redid the footwork from the ground up. And, I mean, it was time over and over and over. Bill Lazor had come in to call plays, and his whole thought process was the Chip Kelly run game from the Philadelphia Eagles married up with the Mike Martz passing game. And so it was brand spanking new for Ryan, yet he worked hard and diligently at it, and he had a pretty good year there. I think that was, 2014. He made some significant strides in terms of his career. And so I see a lot of parallels to what went on there to where we're at here with Caleb, just starting over a little bit in terms of the fundamentals, and yet he's learning a brand new system at the same time. So there's growing pains, and And that's really the fun part about it, because he's taken this thing head on. I'm proud, and I meet with him every player day. We sit down and we kind of recap how the last little bit went and what we need to do going forward. And I'm really proud of how he's approached this thing. He's taken the coaching, and we're fortunate that we have time to still get to where we need to for week one and going into this first stretch of the season, because we need it. And it's, like I said when we started training camp, it's a race. We simply can't get enough reps right now.
Play your starters. Play your starters on Sunday.
When I hear that, that is a bit contradictory to that concept.
A little bit. Yeah.
Also, there are some quotes coming out from the Dolphins right now. Our friend Joe Shad. Our friend. I always consume what he's reporting, whether he was at ESPN or where he is now.
I saw Joe Shad out there the last time the Dolphins were here for a joint practice.
He's an awesome reporter, and he's with the Palm Beach Post now. The quote from James Daniels, you know, former Bears offensive lineman. There were times Tua was pressured a little bit more than I would like. Yeah! Yeah!
I mean, Emma said it. He said the Bears' defense looked awesome today. And that's... Guess what?
Wow, that's the official sounder, huh? For Dolphin distress?
I like it.
You said you had a quote from a Dolphin. I got one right there.
I immediately flash back to Monday with Justin Turner and the Ace Ventura as to why he's a fan of the Dolphins.
Oh, yeah.
That's so amazing.
That is funny.
I think we better take a break now because we await Caleb Williams. Bears practice just wrapped up, and it is warm outside, so give the man some time to cool off. We will do the same. We'll give you some more from Ben Johnson as well in the meantime. This is the Caleb Williams pregame show. Raheem and Harris, Mark Grody in for Marshall on 670 The Score.
You're listening to Raheem and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Raheem and Harris with Mark Grody on 670 The Score as we await Caleb Williams. Bears just wrapped up practice about a half hour ago or so, and a very heated practice. This was a joint practice between the Bears and the Dolphins at Halas Hall. More fun reports from the Dolphins side of it. You want to hear some more from Joe Shad?
Yes.
This was 56 minutes ago. Holy crap. Mike McDaniel jumped in to break up a scrum. He was fired up. Tyreek Hill and Teron Armstead ran in from the sideline too. Dee Eskridge and Kevin Byard were key combatants.
Yeah. Let's go, Byard, the veteran out there, man. His 11th year or is his 10th year? I know it's double digits for Kevin Byard.
Mike McDaniel jumping in to break up the fight. What's the order here?
Hey, cool. Break it up. Come on.
Don't do that to Mike McDaniel.
People like Mike McDaniel.
I'm one of them.
Oh, I love him. I think he's one of the best quotes ever, but looking at him in stature against them, those guys in stature.
Hey, it's a pretty good, in a good way, like a couple of nerds out there, man. Ben Johnson and Mike McDaniel. I mean, going at it. Wits. I mean, maybe they do a couple math equations out in the middle of field four. Over on the hill. I don't know. They just sit down and go through some calculus.
Is this what it was like in the early 2000s when the nerds took over baseball? You know, when Theo Epstein was like 12 and got hired by the Red Sox?
Yeah, Revenge of the Nerds. It's actually happening.
Yeah.
The show is
Are
coming.
We finally seeing the tide turn in the nerds' favor in football?
It is happening.
I love it.
It is happening.
Did you guys hear earlier this week when Mike McDaniels was told good morning? Did you guys hear about this?
No.
You should stand corrected. Good morning. False. Great morning. Let's go.
Why great? What makes this one great?
Because we're another day closer to death.
Okay, Dan.
Wow. Taking the fun out of good morning.
That would have been an interview I would have loved to have heard.
Oh, my God. Mixed results for Caleb today. He had a bomb, like a Colston Loveland 50-yard connection. I'm telling you, man. Colston, and he did have an interception today, Caleb.
I thought you were going to say bomb.com for a second. I was very, very intrigued.
Bomb.com?
Yeah, that was a thing for a while.
I don't know that.
Another report from Joe Shad. This was in the middle of practice. He said, Miami's offense has not had a strong day in Chicago so far. Tua, two interceptions.
That's right.
Madison, two fumbles.
That's right.
Offensive line inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
it's not the Bears we have to criticize. It's the Dolphins.
Happy learned how to putt.
Get Joe Shad on the line here. Let's just talk Dolphins.
Yeah, I love. Well, I mean, inadvertently, he's also talking Bears. So there's that part of it as well.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, actually, I am enjoying the Joe Shad reports more than any of the other reports.
Well, especially when some of the updates are from former Bears, like James Daniels.
James Daniels.
He was going to be a guy.
One time.
And he tore his pec.
I love James Daniels. You know, Iowa kid. I thought that was the one thing. When Ryan Poles, and I haven't really followed James Daniels that closely since he left the Bears, but that was the one thing when Ryan Poles came in and he was making good decisions, letting James Daniels go was one of those that I was like, I don't like it. I don't like it. I also remember, what was it, doing sidelines, and I did this report with Joniak and Thayer at the time, and we talked about Juan Castillo on this program earlier this week. I was on the sideline. I was near the offensive line where they were, you know, the defense was out on the field. And James Daniels and Juan Castillo were just going at it. Like heat of the moment stuff. It doesn't necessarily mean, and I did ask James Daniels about it. He said, oh, it was just no big deal. Heat of the moment stuff. I don't know exactly what it was, but sometimes it's cool to see that stuff. Like all good afterwards, hugs and handshakes. But to see coach and offensive linemen who spend so much time together,
yeah,
like as a unit, just jawing back and forth at each other, it was pretty sick.
Yeah, you want to know what the disagreement is about.
Right, exactly. And I never got a clarity, and I reported it here on the Score, but that just reminded me of that with old James Daniels.
Yeah, I was bummed when he got injured because we knew he was going to be such a crucial piece to that line.
I really thought so. And yeah, look, he you know, in college he played center. Now that the center position is taken care of now, Drew Dolman, all good. You know, Lucas Patrick, goodbye, Sam Mustipher, appreciate you. Who else? Cody Whitehair. You never really were a center. You got your guy now. But James Daniels could have maybe played that position as well. Some people thought that he should have been a center to begin with.
Some people, meaning Mark Grody?
No, I did not think that. I think I know who thought that, but I don't want to give the wrong name of the reporter, the analyst that said that he could have been a center. But I liked him being a guard. I think that was the more valuable position for him.
But the point is there was a lot of, I think, hope and respect for not only his potential, but his talent.
They moved up in the second round to get James Daniels.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. I thought that was an unfinished product that left Halas Hall prematurely.
While we await Caleb Williams, because the Bears told us in the neighborhood of 1 o'clock and Bears. Practice kind of dictates it. And frankly, get your shower after a 90-degree day over at Halas after a heated practice.
Cool down.
Figuratively and literally.
Yeah.
In the meantime, we are examining some of what Ben Johnson had to say with Hogan Johns. He told Hogan Johns that the starters would not play on Sunday. If you missed that, you can go back on the Rewind feature on the Odyssey app. Listen to our first couple segments where we talked about it, what our thoughts were. He also discussed what goes into a Ben Johnson install, which is where we were, at least for the first couple of weeks of camp.
I mean, we're trying to, you know, it's different situational football when you look at it. I mean, we've had plenty of days where it's been base downs, which is just normal first and second down. I probably put second and long into that category, although in my head I kind of put that to the side a little bit because that's a little bit more get back on track mentality. So we've had probably 3 or 4 installs just solely based on our run game, our play actions, our movements, some drop back mixed in there, but that's what you're looking at there. We've had probably 3 third down days. We've had 3 red zone installs. We've had some short yardage goal line the other day. 4 minutes been in there, backed up's kind of gotten in. So you're trying to just have not only install the plays, but also the philosophy behind how we operate and how our minds need to work when we're put in these different situations. Like the Family Fest, for example, we had the backed up situation, which our goal offensively is to get at least 2 first downs. You know, if we've done that, then we will have done a pretty good job backed up. We always want to score, don't get it twisted, but yet if we do what we did in Family Fest and we give up safeties or we keep it backed up, we're making life hard for our punter. And so we want to be able to flip the field at a minimum if we start backed up. So it was a great job by the defense there in that drill. They really took advantage of it. And you better believe we'll get another opportunity of that as camp goes through so that we can hone our skills on that. But that's really what you're looking at in the installs. It's not so much the magic of the plays. It's more so the philosophy and the thought process that us as a coaching staff, we have and we want the players to have when they're in those situations on the field.
This is the most I've heard detail-wise about actual scheme in the last 10 years that I've lived here. That is the most I've heard a head coach tell you about what they want to do. Here's the thing. The opposing team knows they want to do that too. That's why it's okay to tell us.
Yeah. I mean, there's only so many ways to get your ass out of the end zone too. Like, and I remember that at from the family fest. I was there on Sunday and we were all kind of, and this is not uncommon to go through drills where the team starts way back with, you know, literally starting that play on their own 1 yard line, and eventually there was a safety on the play and the defense got the best of it. But it's like, oh, we're doing this here, we're going to make life difficult. So when they say they're making life difficult at times, they are making life difficult for the offense and for Caleb Williams,
right? And on purpose. Yes. And when you know, listen, it is traditional, it is one of the most traditional things in training camp. Your defense is going to be farther ahead of your offense. I feel like that is a truth.
I hate that truth, but it is a truth.
It's not just here.
I know it's not, but we are in the Bears bubble, and we talk about it all the time. I mean, going like the last time there was the offense was ahead of the defense, I felt like, and I wasn't there, but the reports dictated it, and that is when Jay Cutler was here. I'll never forget hearing the reports, and that's like pre-Twitter, of course, pre-video being everywhere, pre-everybody seeing everything. So you are depending on the actual reporters that are out there more than you ever are. And I just remember all the reports coming from Zach Zabin and the rest of the people that were on the Bears beat. I'm sure Biggs was there at the time. It was like, you know, the wide eyes, like, wow, some of the passes that we're seeing downfield from this guy like we've never seen from some of the quarterbacks previously.
This is Raheemy and Harris on 670 The Score with Mark Grody talking about the Bears as we await Caleb Williams after practice today. And I do think that it stands to be reason then that if you know that, it's a rarity when the offense is ahead of the defense at this time of year. Why wouldn't you use that advantage, like backing yourself up against the goal line?
Yeah, of course.
Why wouldn't you practice? If you know 100%. That, if you know the defense is ahead, go ahead and let them know what they need to do now to adjust, rather than pretend like it's not going to happen.
And they do it the other way, too. They do it on the defense's goal line as well. So you do red zone drills where you're put in an advantageous scenario offensively. So it's not all challenge, but a lot of it is.
We're getting more updates from the Bears joint practice with the Dolphins today. And it's key because we know the starters are not playing on Sunday, at least most of them. And this is from Matt Zahn over at CBS2. Kevin Byard, after Bears joint practice with the Dolphins, saying, if we play the way we practiced on defense today, we're going to be pretty damn good.
Like hearing that.
And based on the Joe Shad reports about how bad the Dolphins offense struggled, and the fact that the Dolphins ended up fighting themselves at some point today, I would say that's a positive result.
The real coach on the staff is Dennis Allen. We've been giving Ben Johnson way too much attention. Dennis, the DA, has this defense looking good for the Bears. I mean, he really is. He's the best defensive coordinator, I think, on paper since Vic Fangio. You know, you go through the long line of guys, the Sean Desais and your Chuck Pagano's and Eric Washington. And why am I forgetting the guy that was fired in season?
Allen Williams,
yes.
What did he do again?
Allen Williams. I don't know what he did.
Didn't call blitzes is what he did.
That's right.
Why would you want to do that?
That's what he did.
It's the only thing he didn't.
That's exactly. All he did. Yep, that was it. He was called to the
the job was, hey, do you think we should call blitz here? Nah.
He was called to the principal's office in the middle of the season. You need to call more blitzes or walk your ass out of this building.
I don't think that's what happened.
And he walked.
And that's what happened. Yeah.
I love rewriting history.
Must have said something.
A couple of more quotes here. Kevin Fishbane saying that Byard said, I haven't been a part of a training camp like this before in my career. That's pretty big.
I love that. That's which again, I'm now the evidence is mounting for my surprise that Ben Johnson wouldn't do things differently and play Caleb Williams for a quarter on Sunday. Even because if we're talking about moving fast, I think he could use a quarter.
Of course, petty me is like, yeah, touchdowns and whatever. When you can make the opposing team fight themselves, it's a good day.
By the way, texter, this is in relation to you, Layla. 10 years? How many Bears?
Well, we're not to 10 yet. 10 Don't, happens in October.
Yeah, we'll get there. We're going to have a little... Rocktober is not just Rocktober this year. It's Lailtober.
It is not Lailtober. It is not good. Rocktober.
What do you mean it's not Rocktober? You to,
because Rocktober is about the Rockies, and they are not making the postseason. See, I'm going to go ahead and say it.
Rocktober to me is rock and roll, man. Rocktober.
Oh, no.
Def Leppard.
Tornado. That's a deep cut.
Tornado.
We're going to give Caleb Williams a little more time here, so we're going to take a quick break, waiting for the QB after Bears practice just wrapped up. You are listening to Raheem and Harris with Mark Rohde on 670 The Score in the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Raheem and Harris on 670 The Score. We are continuing to await word from the Bears and Hallis Hall about Caleb Williams coming on the show. We were told it would be in the neighborhood of 1 o'clock, but I think this is a good lesson for everybody because this is very much what we do every day as media members, Mark Rohde. The job of a reporter is to hurry up and wait.
That's right. Hey, and you know, we are trained to do, did you take rain delay theater courses in college at North Texas?
No, we just spoke extemporaneously.
Yeah, extemporaneous. Yeah, go in a room without notes and just talk for 30 minutes. So that we are trained for this.
I'm not the Hall of Famer at North Texas. Just went there, you know. I was happy to have a job. That was my big reward.
You'll get there someday.
You're Illinois State Hall of Famer, you can tell me about what I was supposed to be doing. But I also took journalism. So like I know how to like paste up a newspaper page with an X-Acto knife, which is an antiquated skill. But I didn't do the rain delay theater because my degree was in journalism and not specifically radio, television, film, or broadcast.
Well, that's okay. You seem like you got it. You got it. Oh, and I learned how, like, skills that there's a lot of things that I learned that are no longer relevant because of the modernization for the better of the business, like using razor blades to edit actual tape and little wax pens and put it together. I was
drag it across the head.
How did you guys do that? I would have no idea how to do it. I know how to do it digitally, but I have no idea.
Not particularly good at it either.
Guys, we're getting a couple texts now, and shout out to our Twitch mob as well, because everybody's waiting. 773 is like QB1, big timing Layla and Grody. I don't think it's about us, guys. I think it's just about what happens after a practice and what you do.
I think we got stood up on a date. Here is what another texter says.
Yeah, we got stood up on date night. Does that just mean you call your friends and hang out? Because I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, with my friends right now. Yeah, it's fun.
Exactly.
Guess
what I do instead of date night every weekend? This. Hang out with my friends.
Don't. I think you undersell that. I think you go on dates and you're not telling us.
No, I seriously average like one a year.
Really?
Yeah, and I haven't done the one yet this year.
Are they good? At least the one per year.
Yeah, they have actually. Good. And what's funny is, like, I end up being friends with people. Like, we end up being cool, and, like, we'll text each other about stuff later.
That's awesome. Yes. Yeah. Yes, that's a blessing to be friends with your exes. I am, too.
Some of them I'm not. Am not. One of them recently tried to use Rhino's passing as a way to send me an email because he's blocked on everything else. And I'm like, this is sad, desperate, and lame.
Your message was weird. You ever get stood up?
Yeah. Yeah. Who hasn't?
Yeah.
I'll admit to that. Yeah, of course I've been stood up. I got married at 25, so everything kind of goes backwards from there for me. It's all been diminishing returns, relatively speaking.
How long before a date can you cancel on it? Like, what is the appropriate amount of time?
Oh, this is a hot topic. Like, Marshall and I have talked about this a lot. So there are some people who say that if you don't do the day of confirmation text, then there's some sort of like stand-up involved. Now, for the record, the Bears did do the day of confirmation text.
Yeah, we're all good. It's like Layla said, this is not, I don't think, I'm not taking it personally.
I feel like this is very much a day in the life of reporters.
Right.
You wait for the guy. If the guy's not ready, guess what? You're still there because your job is to get the guy.
How many times has Layla Rahimi stood around a baseball locker waiting for somebody to come out of the shower in their towel, in flip-flops, and then get dressed?
I always turn around. One sock at a time. I'm not trying to look at anybody inappropriately.
We all turn around. It's just respect.
Yes. You want to be in there because that's the permission afforded to reporters, and that's your responsibility to carry it. However, it is also your responsibility as a human to respect their space.
Absolutely. That's another thing. Like that is something that we're lucky to do.
But during that time, do we often look at other lockers and what people have in there, like fun skincare? Yes.
Of course. Oh, yeah. I know. I'm always observing what those guys have in their lockers. It's usually cool stuff.
It is. Yeah. Because A, they can afford it. Uh-huh. And B, they're hip to that stuff because it really kind of is part of your job.
Right.
Body maintenance is part of your job.
You see modern sports stuff.
Yes. I actually feel like QB1 would be amenable to that conversation, too.
He would be.
But my whole take on today was, and I got a text earlier that was like, Layla, keep that energy. A lot of what we're trying to do today is also add to what is already out there. You know, he did sit down with Brian Baldinger and Stacey Dales, and I feel like that was good information. I'm going to try to not overlap to it. I'm going to add to it. But I also want to ask questions about big picture stuff with him, because I feel like the more we know about him, the better we can interpret not only what he says, but what he does and how he feels about it. Like,
yeah.
That's part of the job.
Right. And we have a short time with him, so obviously we'll get into some of the stuff from today. But like Layla said, yeah, it's like, let's go big picture. Let's go where this is going with the Bears.
And you really get a sense of that in also Dan Wiederer's article, where he sits down with Caleb Williams. And I actually want to look forward to the Take the North podcast where you two get to break this down. When do you think that will occur?
Actually, we're recording another episode of the Take the North podcast today.
Sweet.
Yeah, well, it'd actually be probably later today. There's one up and running right now, Take the North, if you want to check that out, and we appreciate it. Dan Wiederer and I do. But we will be recording another episode today, so we'll get all of Weedsy's eyewitness of what went on in the practice today against the Dolphins and look ahead to Sunday, and as always, give our opinions on all of the Bears players.
Yeah, but I don't think this is a case of being stood up. I think it's when your job is all of the things that we just mentioned. And you just had a joint practice with another team for the first time, which is their first action against another team since the Packers game.
I sure do hope he's okay.
Yeah, I mean, Caleb's could be okay. Getting treatment, you
maybe.
Know? You never know.
Yeah.
But this for us, well, welcome to a lot of what the daily job is, you know?
Sit, hurry up, and wait, as
now,
he said.
My job now is to be there for you from about 9:45 to 2:20. But previous to that, it was hurry up and wait a lot of the time.
I think it was Josh List down the block here at WBBM who once said, what would you do with all of the extra time that you would have as a sports reporter, all the hours of waiting and doing nothing because there's nothing to do because we are at the behest of the team? What would you have done with all of those extra hours that we all could have had as reporters?
I mean, I don't know. I'd probably wasted them on scrolling on my phone like I did with all the other hours.
It's a lot easier today. Yeah, Josh asked that question a long time ago, pre-Graham.
When I think about the hours that I've wasted just reading stuff, yes, I feel like that would happen. And then there's this guy on Twitter who's like, please stop posting lies. We can't make people do things. We don't control them.
What was the post?
They're just mad because Caleb's not on yet.
What was the lie?
That's not our fault.
Oh, yeah, we're just standing. It's all
we
good.
Are not lying to you.
It's all good.
If you think we are, boy, do I have some stuff to tell you about where there are actual lies being told to you. That is not this case. 309, were the Bears also behind the production of the Shane's Meat segment last year?
Wait,
no,
that.
No, sadly, that was all us. That was all us and a big old fail. That was what that was.
What was that? Remind me.
So last year, on a holiday that now will live in infamy, we tried to do, I think it was Labor Day. Was it Labor Day, right?
Yeah, it was Labor Day.
Last Labor Day, we tried to do a Shane's Meat live segment, which we used to do on the Midday Show quite a bit.
Shane Rorden.
And yes. Shane was like, oh, Kaylin, his girlfriend, has Wi-Fi in her car. Like, I'll be able to join you guys, no problem. Not only did it not work multiple times, we then said we could never play the segment again. But then we decided as a holiday gift or curse to everybody that we would play it at Christmas. So that's what we did.
Oh, man. Okay. So it went well then.
I thought there was an 80-pound pork shoulder instead of 8 because I thought there was a wild boar involved. Everything that could go wrong went wrong.
When you have a wild boar in play, then things are probably going to go wrong.
It was not a wild boar. It was just an 8-pound pork shoulder, so you're run of the mill. And I have no idea how long it would take to smoke an 80-pound pork shoulder. I don't eat a lot of pork.
Let's get Shane on right now.
I eat pepperoni.
Pepperoni's good.
Yeah, I'm really pro the pepperoni. I feel like it's a good...
Is that your pizza? Pepperoni?
Yeah, I'm not particular about my pizza toppings, okay. except for I don't love pineapple.
Yeah, I don't need that
414,
either.
414, good point. Maybe Caleb is needing to smoke an 80-pound pork shoulder.
You never, hey man, well, DeMarcus Walker no longer there. He was the one that was in charge. He had the food truck out there. It was barbecue, I believe, DeMarcus Walker. And then David, he made some wings one day. And that was the day that Jalen Johnson was offering the media food. And Potsy got pissed off because we accepted.
Potsy did not accept the food.
He did not. He was shaking his head at us, too. Like, this is not the reporter. This is not the journalism I grew up with. Reporters accepting food from players. He's probably right.
Wait until he hears about how Jalen Johnson joined us on The Score every week.
Oh, yeah. And that we had fun sometimes. We yucked it up with Jalen Johnson. Yeah.
That we did. We're going to take another break here. We are also awaiting Lawrence Holmes and Matt Spiegel. And Caleb Williams, we wait. That is what we do as reporters. We wait. So we will join you next with the latest here on 670 The Score.